Will you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? From Matthew chapter 5, the first 12 verses. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes for you to use as we go through this message together, and I invite you to follow along and to write things down. Before you open the notes, I would invite you to take a look at the image that's printed on the front cover. Back in the 1980s, a couple years after I finished seminary, a friend of mine and I took a course on prayer from a Catholic priest over at Lancaster Seminary. And on the first day of class, Father Ed gave each of us an 8.5 by 11 print of this image of Jesus. It's called Jesus Laughing. And as we were focusing on prayer in that class, Father Ed wanted us to see Jesus not as sober and demanding, not as harsh and judgmental, but to see Jesus as a joyful person. Someone who loved to laugh. Someone who came into this world preaching good news. Now, across the years, I've held on to that print from Father Ed, and often in my prayer time, especially when the weight of things is heavy upon me, I remember Jesus laughing. And it reminds me that Jesus delights in spending time with me in prayer. And it also gives me perspective in difficult times. It helps me remember that Jesus is Lord, that He is risen. In fact, this image was not originally called Jesus Laughing. It was called Jesus the Liberator by the man that first drew it in the 1970s. Because the victory has been won. And we, as followers of Jesus, have joy. I was delighted when I came to First Church that Dawn and George, our children's ministry directors, had already given framed copies of Jesus Laughing as a thank you gift for children's ministry partners. And I got one of those and put it on my wall next to my desk. This morning, as we focus on the Beatitudes, I want you to remember how much Jesus enjoys you. And whenever you turn to Him in prayer, whenever you seek His friendship, remember that in Jesus, you will find blessing that you will not find in any other way. As it says under number one in your notes, the community of Christ, the church, is a joyful people because we serve a joyful God. Last Sunday, as we were continuing on in this series of the big reveal, we focused on a few verses at the end of Matthew chapter 4, where Matthew gives a summary of Jesus' ministry. Matthew says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Now, Matthew is telling us here that wherever Jesus went, he brought joy into people's lives. He preached good news. He liberated those who were suffering. He claimed power over evil. And he showed us that we serve a joyful God. In one of the first books he wrote, Pastor John Ortberg wrote this: "We will not understand God until we understand this about Him. God is the happiest being in the universe." God is the happiest being in the universe. Now, certainly God knows sorrow. And Jesus is remembered, among other things, as a man of sorrows and one well acquainted with grief. And whenever we experience heartache and grief in our lives, God is with us in that. But the sorrow of God is only a temporary response to a fallen world. And joy is God's basic character. Joy is God's eternal destiny. God is the most joyful being in the universe. And we're reminded of this when we turn to this beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, because the Sermon on the Mount begins with the word blessed, which is also translated as happy or joyful. Jesus begins all nine Beatitudes with that same word. And it makes us think that Jesus must have been speaking into the lives of people that came to hear him in the crowd that day. And he must have known that the people in that crowd, given the circumstances of their lives, were looking for joy. And people today are looking for joy too. The sad thing is that people are looking for joy, for happiness, in all the wrong places. I heard a story about three couples that went out to dinner one evening, and they arrived at the crowded restaurant, and they were given one of those vibrating pagers and sent over to the bar to wait for a table. And as they waited, a server came up to them and said, "Welcome to happy hour," and offered to give them a drink. Well, the couples declined. Well, soon, a different server came up to take their drink order. And once again, they said, "No, thank you." And at this point, one of them leaned over to the others and commented that maybe their table was being delayed because the restaurant wanted them to buy a drink first. And just then, yet another server came by and said, "Welcome to happy hour." And one of the women blurted out, "Young man, we're United Methodists, and this is as happy as we're going to get. Please get us a table." That was bad. At the bar, and in countless other ways, people are looking for happiness. But the happiness that this world offers is temporary, and it rises and falls depending on the circumstances we're in. The blessedness Jesus offers us, the blessedness of a joyful God, is eternal. It comes from above. We can experience it day in and day out, whatever the world may bring. In the Bible, blessedness describes happiness that comes from a right relationship with God. The very first word in the book of Psalms is this: happy. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law they meditate both day and night. In Psalm 33, verse 12, we read, "Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage." And here in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 6 of our text for today, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Righteousness describes a right relationship with God. Those who yearn to know God, Jesus tells us, will be filled with joy. There's a direct correlation between the depth of your joy and the depth of your life with God. In commenting on the Beatitudes, a New Testament scholar, Tom Wright, writes this: "In our world still, most people think that wonderful news consists of success, wealth, long life, victory in battle. Jesus is offering wonderful news for the humble, the poor, the mourners, the peacemakers. God is acting in and through Jesus to pour out lavish blessings on all who turn to Him and accept the new thing He is doing." So what are the gifts? What are the lavish blessings that God will pour out upon those who welcome Jesus into their lives? Well, the Beatitudes show us 9 different blessings. And entire books have been written about the Beatitudes. We could do a whole series of sermons on this passage. But with the time we have this morning, I want to take a look at them as a group and lift up what I see as 3 big gifts that you and I receive as we look to Jesus for our joy. And the first gift is this: communion with God. Those who turn to Jesus are blessed with the gift of communion or fellowship with God. In the very first Beatitude, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The New English Translation says this: "How blessed are those who know their need for God." To be poor in spirit refers to those who, regardless of their circumstances, recognize that they need God's grace in order to have the life that God makes possible for us. And this beatitude promises that those who remember their need for God and call upon God will receive the awareness of God's reign in this world. You know, it's so easy for us to forget our need for God. And in this land of plenty, we can become so self-sufficient. When times are good for us, we might say, "I'm doing very well on my own, thank you very much. I don't need God. I don't need prayer. I don't need the church. I don't need to spend time in God's Word." We forget God. But again and again, the Scripture reminds us that those who forget God slide into places where they find themselves coming up empty. In verse 8, Jesus again emphasizes the blessing that comes to those whose hearts are directed toward God. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Like the poor in spirit, those who are pure in heart also recognize their need for God. Those whose hearts are pure are those who are consistently and repeatedly inviting God to come in and cleanse their hearts. Maybe you remember that wonderful prayer chorus. And if you know it, as I start to sing it this morning, maybe you could just sing it with me as a sort of prayer in the middle of the sermon. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You know, when we get up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, when we're in the middle of the day, we might just sing that song. Because God is always with us. And God finds joy when we welcome Him into our hearts. So those who turn to Jesus, first of all, find joy in fellowship with God. And the Beatitudes also show us that those who turn to Jesus are blessed with the gift of hopefulness for the future. If you look at the Beatitudes closely, you'll notice that the first 8 of the 9 are all constructed in the same way. Each Beatitude begins with the present tense, blessed are. In other words, those who are blessed experience joy now in the present. However, the specific reason why they are joyful lies in the future. They will, it says. The community of Christ is a joyful people because we trust in what God has promised to do in the future. Look at verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, we know that we can experience mourning in different ways. Often it's very personal for us as we grieve the loss of a loved one. Sometimes we mourn because we feel sorrow for sins of our past. And we also can experience mourning when we look out at the world around us and we see all the suffering. There is so much brokenness in this world. And here in the 21st century, it's magnified for us because all of the heartache is broadcast right into our living rooms on the evening news. It's easy for us to become cynical these days, to look at things as they are and think that perhaps there is no hope for this world. But Jesus tells us that those who know Him find blessing, even in the present, because they trust in God's work to make all things new in the future. When Betsy and I were serving in Hanover, Reverend George Hipple and his wife Mary were part of our congregation. Reverend Hipple had retired after serving many years as a pastor and leader in the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference, and he and Mary were just our greatest encouragers for the years we were there. During our last year in Hanover, Mary became quite ill, and she passed away. And a few months after that, George became ill. And just a week or so before we moved, he too passed away. I'll never forget my very last visit with Reverend Hipple before he died. He was bedfast and in the Brethren home over in New Oxford. He was barely able to speak. And while I was there, I asked him if I could read some scripture. And he whispered to me, "Read Romans 8. And I said, "Which part, George?" And he said, "Read the whole chapter." And so I stood by his bed and I read all of Romans 8. And then I said, "Why Romans 8? And he said, "Ever since Mary died, I have found such great hope in those words." And in particular, he said, "I repeat to myself Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18. Where the Apostle Paul declares, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us." Reverend Hipple, in difficult circumstances, was not given to cynicism, was not depressed and angry. He knew that things were not in this world as they could be or should be, but he had this hope because he knew Jesus. And because he knew that there is nothing, not even death, that can ever, ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Those who turn to Jesus receive the gift of fellowship with God. Those who turn to Jesus receive the gift of hope for the future. And then there's just one more important gift that I want to lift up from the Beatitudes this morning. And that is that those who turn to Jesus are blessed with the gift of compassion for their neighbors. A couple of the Beatitudes focus on this. In verse 7, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." He doesn't mean that we will only receive mercy if we will be merciful to others. What he means is that God has already bestowed mercy upon us. And so in response to that, we show compassion to others. And then down in verse 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." The word for peace, shalom, means the presence of loving harmony and justice for all of God's children. Mercy, peace. Both of these words express to us the calling that we have of those who have been blessed by God's grace to have compassion. I love what Henry Nouwen says about this. "Compassion," he writes, "grows with the inner recognition that your neighbor shares your humanity with you." Your neighbor. That's everybody. Your neighbor shares your humanity with you. This partnership cuts through all walls which might have kept you separate, across all barriers of land and language, wealth and poverty, knowledge and ignorance. We are one. We live in a world of people who, like those who came to Jesus long ago, are longing for a blessing. And when we walk with the Lord, we not only find communion with God, we not only find hope for the future, but we also find our purpose. And that is that we would be filled with compassion for everyone. For all of those many, many people who yearn for joy in their lives. Jesus shows us that those who turn to Him will find complete joy. In John's Gospel, he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and so that your joy may be complete." We serve a joyful God. A God who desires for every one of us to know the blessed life that is possible when we abide in Him. Those of us who have known that blessed life and who have experienced that joy would join with the Apostle Paul as he declares in Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Amen. As you go forth today, may you take Jesus laughing with you. And may you remember, in all the circumstances of your life, the desire that Jesus has to be your friend, to walk with you, to show you hope for the future, and to fill you with compassion. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you today and always. Amen.